I don't care one way or the other, because y'all hippies just need to install the binary drivers like real gamers. And welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vince Stone in beautiful downtown Athens, Georgia, switching the bits, trying to pilot our little nightmare plane, joined every week by the man with a not-red shirt, Jordan Swang up in Toronto land, and staying up a little less late this week because the time changed on him. On the Isles of Britannia, one Pedro Mateus together with you, Shot Realm Dynamic, helping us form, you know him, Cocaine Voltron. Let's talk about that dragon shirt, baby.
Yeah, it's dragon shirt.
You've got to Shiva and back and survived.
I will not accept this level of bullshit. You brought the shirt like three times during the pre-show.
I like the shirt.
I want to appreciate it too.
It's a Melissa Benson piece. It's the Shivan dragon art from Alpha Magic the Gathering. It's always been one of my favorite cards just because it has a really cool art. And I found out that she sells shirts with like Nightmare and Lord of Atlantis and shit on Zazzle. I tried to find a Necropotence shirt because that's also one of my favorite cards, but from back in the day, but they don't.
Do they have foil shirts?
You could probably get it in foil. It's going to be very uncomfortable though. Maybe give you some like weird metal slippers.
Probably don't want to go to sleep in a microwave.
I mean, generally you don't want to go to sleep in a microwave unless you're a burrito.
Fair. How about you, Mr. Time Hasn't Changed Over There Yet? Mateus.
Yeah, the next three shows are going to be an hour earlier for me because, yeah, daylight savings doesn't kick in till the 31st over here on GMT, so I look forward to it. I did go yesterday at around lunchtime. I went to Cambridge City Center to get my eyes checked, and because I've been getting the astigmatism headaches, so they went through all the things.
Whenever
I hear
like stigmatism, I'm always like,
not the stigma. Yeah.
You know, I think of the ill-willed press Foamy the Squirrel thing, where it's like, yeah, I have eye stigmata, and he's just like shooting blood out of his eyes.
So yeah, I'm getting new glasses in 2 weeks apparently. So about the time that the clock changes.
I got a new toy that could take down the entire show tonight, but I don't think it will. We are currently at 48 degrees centigrade, which is my new, it's my manglement of centigrade and Celsius.
That'll infuriate someone, yes.
you just gotta use Kelvin. That's all we gotta do.
I gotta think. Look, Jordan, it's a big,
it's a box.
It's a brown box, though. That means it costs a lot.
It's made by Germans.
Austrians.
Right.
Same thing.
Austria equals Germany.
Let's go back a few years and you Austria, can say it's the same thing.
I'm going to be more controversial. Austria and Australia are the same place. Fight me.
Literally indistinguishable.
You can't tell the difference.
NHP1. You might know about it because somebody talked me out of buying this thing. No fan on it. Completely passive heatsink for AM4, AM5, or whatever you were brave enough to stick it on, which, I stuck it on Jackbox. There it is. This is a chalker. There is RAM hiding under that, man. Like, that, to get the size of this thing, in the right hand corner there, that's the fiber card plugged into the x16, the first x16 slot.
Oh, you should have bought a banana.
Nanometers, son, are like separating this. It barely had clearance on it, just enough where I felt comfortable. And,
Those are some thick fins, though.
They're not even thins. They're more like plates, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know.
You need the thermal mass.
Yeah. I would have thought it would have been like crazy finny to like maximize surface area, but like, I guess so.
I think it's more about like the potential that it can hold, you know, like heat soak or whatever you want to call it. I've done some tests with it. I got a little video. I'll have that out. I'll put it up early for patrons. And I'll put it out on Interfacing Linux later on, probably next week. But I've been doing some testing with it, kernel compiles. I want to see what it does. But it had a very interesting side effect, though. Because, you know, no fan on it. It uses convection to, you know, magically transmit heat up. Nobody knows how that works.
I put it in Jackbox and I got it all tightened down, ran it. Somehow it managed to make the fan on the power supply really loud. Because before, I couldn't hear it. Now I can hear it. So this has magical powers to make power supply fans louder.
Has the magical power of reducing the noise floor. Now you can hear everything else.
I think it's haunted.
I mean, does the ghost improve the cooling, or does it like make the thing run hotter? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Whenever it's just like, oh, it's haunted, but like, yeah, but what does the ghost actually do? Does it improve the functionality, or does it make it worse? Because I want to keep the ghost if it makes it run faster, right?
Wait, like, I'm not going to voluntarily let you have my ghost. But it is a thing. I mean, it does work. And to what degree, you'll find out along with, I'll do a little write-up for it. And
to what degree Celsius?
Yeah, thermofeeds. I do want to give a shout out to, I tried to buy this a month ago. And when I talked about it on the show, like that, about a week later, I'm like, yo, I'm just going to go pick this up. And I went to get it off the wish list. And I got the wish list set where it doesn't spoil surprises. And I tried to order it. And it's like, no, you cannot order it. I'm like, neat, because I know what that means. And like, I waited 3 weeks, then I waited 4 weeks, and I'm like, all right, fuck. Then I didn't want two of them, right? I didn't want to order one and have one show up. Contacted Amazon customer support, and they're like, yeah, somebody fucking ordered it, but it looks like they've scheduled a refund for it. I'm like, okay, can I just have that one? And they're like, here you go. Problem solved. But thank you. Mysterious person, whoever attempted to, and maybe you ordered it for yourself. I don't know, because I've had that happen too. How about something that will never be passively cooled? No, only liquid helium can tame the ferocity, the thermal load of the horse.
I mean, you just got to mix it together, right? It's a nice little cocktail. I wouldn't call it refreshing. I would call it the steam.
Update.
Sail. Oh man. Again. Man, is it Imagine Dragons who sings that song? Or I don't know. AWOL Nation. AWOL Nation I'm glad I was able to pull that out of my ass. We owe them a lot of money, but not as much money as Steam will make during the spring sale, where there are a bunch of unimpressive sales. But you know, there's some good shit here, like my picks are Citizen Sleeper and Inscription are $12 and $10 respectively, so you should grab those if you don't already owe them. I grabbed some Celasta, the Crown of the Magister DLC for cheap because I wanted the Barbarian and the Monk class. Deathloop was $15, and that looks kind of interesting. And Midnight Suns refuses to drop below $20 because fucking Firaxis, I want my Marvel dating sim card game, and I want it now.
Yeah, I only had, of the 43 games that are my wish list, 10 were 50% or more off, which is better than the winter sale, so good on them. But yeah, there's two that are under £5. One's the DLC for Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning, and the other one is for Dread Templar, which is Boomer Shooter, which I probably will end up picking up. So yeah, no, it is Left 4 Dead 2 is 99 cents.
Oh, it finished downloading. There you go. Aha. Speaking of...
No, I'm sorry. I'm on the show too. I'm looking for more stuff. I've been trying to give Valve some money, ladies and gentlemen. I have, man. I got all the way to like page 4 on this, like 85-90% off. But I started.
I was like going through because SteamDB has like the most cheapest of all time, or like that kind of thing. So I was just looking to see like what is at a new low price? Is anything like at that level? And like, no, there's not much, is there?
Well, I mean, I started like 30-40% off, and I think a lot of us, we don't really keep that tight a track of what's on sale on Steam. But you get that email notifications like things on your wish list are on sale. I'm like, all right, let's go see. And I didn't see anything impressive. However, when you have a new all-time low of It Takes Two at $9.99, they learned how not to make that $14.99 or possibly $15.99. But yeah, a bunch of 30 and 40% off stuff that I would buy, but I'm not, because I think about it like this. Like, one of the curses of getting just a wee older is just developing hella patience and just refining this.
No hurry.
Yeah, to the point of like, I can wait you out now. I got other stuff I need to go do. And like, I will come back to you when you're the appropriate price. Now, we talked about in the pre-super shows, and go back and listen to that if you're one of our beautiful party patrons, about the Instabuy price, which $9.99 and lower. I'm just going to buy it. If it's something that I've kind of had my eye on, I'm like, $9, fine. If I really want it, Instabuy price, which is rare, maybe once or twice a year, is $20. What's yours, Jordan? What is your, fuck it, I'm just going to buy it.
Instabuy for me is $5. But like if I wanted it, like 10 to 15 is kind of that range, depends on like how bad and how recent.
No, I think that's really relevant, because when I am on the Steam store and I always click the special thing if I just happen to be there, and I will sort like 15. That's where I put my slider. It's like $15, little man.
Yeah. Put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me.
Yeah. How about you, Benjamin Mateus? Apparently £3.50. You're like too rich for my blood.
I think the first game that I remember just buying because it was stupid cheap on Steam was Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, because it was €4. It was like €4, like, oh, I want that game, and it's only €4, like, done.
Now, let's talk about patience, though.
Well, I wanted to cycle back to that, too, because, like, as Linux users, we have an added incentive, because, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about the wine thing, where in some games you get like 400% increase in some scenarios. And while that's, yeah, there's some nuance to that, but like, you know, sometimes a year goes by and then the Mesa guys are like, yeah, we cracked this thing and now this game just runs at like 9 billion frames a second. And so, you know, now it's worth it to go look at a game.
Yeah. Ever since it started supporting DX9, DX9 games tend to run a lot better in Vulkan than native DX9, because Vulkan can use more CPU threads.
And then we just got things like F-Sync being in, you know, kernel 6.6 and above, which turned like Trackmania 2020 completely playable on Threadripper, where something about the Threadripper architecture, even with 3060s, just didn't like it. F-Sync sorts it. Now it just plays like a regular game. But what I want to get to is impulse control. We got that down, but Let's wind the clock back just a little bit. Let us know. Leave a comment. What was the last game that you bought on day one? You paid the iron price, $59, $49, $69, whatever it was. What was it? Because you do remember. You just got to think back.
On release, I think it was Skyrim.
You cheap bastard.
It probably, for me, it probably would have been one of the Pokemons, because we're not restricting it to, like, PC games, but, like...
I think for this one, we need to restrict it to Steam.
To Steam? Okay. Yeah. That one I'm struggling to remember.
Mine was, I remember mine because it made me mad. After the last two I bought, Sony titles, because I wanted, not necessarily to, well, God of War, I wanted to play it because it had Tilk in it.
Mm.
And
that a boy.
Yeah, dude. And like, I was like, I listened to that, dude. It didn't perform all that well because it's a Sony title. I didn't learn my lesson. Then the Spider-Man Remastered came out, and I was just giving Sony money to send them a message. I'm like, more PC ports, period. And that game, like 7 months later, got playable. But yeah, outside of that, before those games, I couldn't tell you, man.
I did buy one.
Okay.
The Dark Souls Remaster. I bought that day one on release.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe Darkest Dungeon 2, but someone might have bought that for me. Yeah. I don't know. It all kind of blurs together for the past couple of years, too. So it's hard.
Oh,
what, man, do you mean we're not in 2020 anymore?
What?
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about Valve reaching a new official Steam Deck compatible game. Milestone?
Yeah, Kilometer Rock. Yeah, so according to PC Games N, links to all this stuff is in our show notes, 14,000 games are now considered compatible for the Steam Deck. They are playable or above. And yeah, we don't need no stinking Switch games. We got plenty of games. We have most of the games that are available on the Switch store, minus a couple of like the Nintendo exclusives. One other thing that is kind of interesting, 3,924 games are just outright considered to be wholehearted unsupported. Don't try to play them on the Steam Deck. And I was thinking that is actually like one of the big value adds for like the Steam Deck versus the ROG or the Legion, is that Valve is going out of their way to flag games that run well on the handheld. and going out of their way to like make the experience better, which is something that their competition just really isn't doing.
How much confusion do you think that leads to? People like, oh, well, I got the Windows handheld. I can apply that list to this thing. Why is it on fire?
Right, like,
yeah, no, I'm using Windows on my handheld, so it'll play everything. And then they try to start, it's like, oh, yes.
I don't know, man. When you think about this, though, with those deck digits, 14,000 games, verified playable TM, because we know there's some wiggle room.
There's wiggle room. Even the unsupported ones, a few of them work.
Someone hacked Alex to run on a Steam Deck. We don't recommend you do it, but you can. Yeah, you can if you really want to.
There's room for some vagary in that. But speaking of that, man, in the article, the dude says, I mourn the day Deck Verified comes to the end. The fuck are you talking about?
I don't think that's happening. That's how you tell people to buy games for your console. It's like, these are the good ones that work. go there.
Well, yeah, I don't think it
turns out, the deck's pretty popular.
Yeah, a couple of people bought one, man. And Proton, we gotta give it all the props, because Proton has absolutely went from, like, we were all here on that day one. We're like, the fuck is this? No, okay, yeah. I remember the first thing. That day, I downloaded Bioshock. Well, I already had Bioshock because it was in a bundle. And I was able to play it with, like, just clicking a button. We didn't have, like, shader precaching at the time, but, like, just click a button down and the performance was playable. It's come a long way.
It's so weird seeing normies just post pictures of their Steam Decks.
It's great. I love it, man. In no small part because of that play button, that Proton, that little wine project that Valve did, and that has led to the Steam Deck. Like, that's only second to probably the least talked about but biggest advantage that the Steam Deck has over all Windows handheld gaming systems from everybody is game scope. Because you're typically dealing with, you know, you want 900p, game scope can do that. It doesn't give the game an option. It's like, look at me, I'm the system now. You're going to be on the display. You don't have to worry about bordered window lists and jumping in and out and alt tabbing. It's like, it's there.
It can give it the options, whatever options it wants, but it's always going to render at whatever resolution you tell it to render.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, GameScope is amazing in that respect. Oh, the game can only render in 1024 by 768. And GameScope goes, okay, here's the draw surface, draw your 1024 by 768, I'll figure out the rest. And
that's,
it puts
huge
when you're dealing on screen.
Yeah. I call it, like, when I'm using GameScope on the desktop, that's when I'm like, okay, I need to put this game in obey me mode.
Mm. And Oh yeah. There are a ton of games that, like, their windowing shit is busted. And it's just like, no, this is where you run now. This little window.
Let's be honest. Their windowing shit's not busted on Linux. Their windowing shit's just busted.
Yeah. That one's 100% the game.
Yeah. All right. All right, let's move on to a little bit of arithmetic. We're going to count to 100.
Top 100 games sorted, according to Valve, by highest daily player count on the Steam Deck, which is, it's the top 100 games on the Steam Deck from March 2023 to March 2024. And Baldur's Gate 3 leads by what I'm guessing to be a fairly significant margin. Two. Because right below that is Vampire Survivors, of course. Elden Ring comes in at number 5, followed by
Legally
Distinct.
Dude, we gotta see how far we can get down before we get to... What's gonna be the first game of, like, get the fuck out of here?
Outworld? Immediately below Elden Ring.
Get the fuck out of here. All right, fair.
Legally Distinct Pokemanes for now.
everything looks like fine. And what I mean by that is, like, something that just wouldn't be a really good experience on the Steam Deck. And
Skyrim at number 13.
Skyrim's like 23 years old now. It should be.
No, that's the DX11 version. So it's a little newer.
Okay, 19 years old. Monster Hunter. You know, that Spider-Man game probably runs like ass on the deck, but hey, it's compatible. Fallout 4, maybe? That's pretty old.
Well, and like
2015, that's a year before the new Skyrim.
A lot of the stuff, like the Baldur's Gate 3, the Red Dead Redemptions, Hollow Knight, Elden Ring, all that shit, Cyberpunk, makes sense because these are huge fucking games that take forever to finish. And just being able to, like, pick them up and play a little bit and then put it down is huge for getting people to be actually able to, like, play their games, which is a thing that I think gets overlooked quite a bit with the Steam Deck. Is like, definitely when I need to game, it's like, oh, I can come downstairs and set up my PC and turn it on, sit down and blah blah blah, or I can pick up the Steam Deck and just sit in bed or on the couch.
And that is definitely a way you need to look at it, though, because even if it's not the highest fidelity experience, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, like, exactly.
If you just need to pick something up, right?
And being able to put the deck to sleep while you're playing a game, because you can't do that shit on Windows.
Project Zomboid. So let's go ahead.
When are they going to bring that to Steam, man? When can I just like pause the game in Steam?
Don't give my ideas, man. Okay, so the least played at the top 100, all the way down to the bottom. You know what you love at a blast from the past? Something you might remember from 2015. Rocket League, a game we used to play the absolute snot of before Epic bought Psyonix, one of the P ones, and they're like, LOL, no more Linux support. Why? Reasons.
Because Timmy doesn't like Linux. But we'll get there.
Yeah, hold your horses, Pedro. We still got a ways to go. We got at least one more story to talk about.
How about VKD3D? Dash Proton, not to be confused with regular ordinary VKD3D. No. They got a little bit of an update. Version 2.12. The big one I wanted to point out here is they have implemented NVIDIA Reflex, which is interesting because that's the super low latency stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. They hacked around. No, they didn't hack around that. NVIDIA showed up and like, here, let's do it for you. Here's how you do it. Because NVIDIA hates Linux, right, guys? Right? Right?
Top of the line, money.
AMD. Ooh, Team Red.
Yes.
Sure. AMD jumps in and helps all the fucking time.
Listen, Intel is the one that's paying for my shilling, so you get none of that.
Okay.
I'll be the first one to admit that I never expected NVIDIA to fix a bug with the original Linux release of Neverwinter Nights, and yet they did. The very next driver version for the 1080 at the time, they had fixed the cloak issue that I was having, and I honestly can't fault them for that at all, while at the same time, AMD just straight up ignored all of my bug reports for FGLRX, so fuck AMD.
There's some other stuff in this release as well. They're enabling shader model 6.7 globally, and also they had some work for enabling shader model 6.7 on Pascal as well. And I wonder, will this at all help with the DXL performance on the 10 series, or will this just let you run shit with shader model 6.7?
The latter.
Period.
I don't know. I mean, going all the way back to Pascal is like, yeah, you can try it if you want. We're not gonna.
I paid $1,000 for that card back in the day.
Right?
I don't want to throw it out. It's e-waste. And also, if you really like Persona 3 Reloaded, no more ray tracing for you. Sorry. Wah, wah.
And there for our brothers and sisters that still have a nice, firm, crippling addiction to World of Warcraft, they fixed that GPU hang with your MSSA enabled. So, ray tracing for your Fursonas.
Yeah.
That gets disabled by default. It's probably a good idea. Elden Ring, they introduced ray tracing a while back, and I turned it on and I struggled to find the difference except for the frame rate.
Do they call it Elden ray tracing?
They just have a ray tracing option you can set different levels.
Every game that I've cut RT on, I've had that same experience. Like, I'll cut it on like a little bit, and I'm like, maybe.
I went through all the different levels to see if I could see anything, and the only thing I saw was the frame rate counter dropping.
That is the only way you know it's on, right? You're like,
the game runs worse. Yeah.
Yes.
Tim Sweeney from Epic had a little bit of a rant, like what, 30 years ago, 20 years ago?
2018, so 6 years ago.
Yeah, so about 20 years ago. Yeah,
20 years ago.
Yeah, no, there was, because of the Wolfire case against Valve about the 30%, because Epic didn't sue Valve for the 30%, it'd be kind of weird, but Wolfire decided, you know what, we're gonna do it. So there's discovery has been going on, and some emails that Team Sweeney sent to Valve in 2018 have now surfaced, and they're...
what?
They're hilarious. I just want to call him Weenie from now on because he's just whining through the whole thing. One of the examples is, right now, you assholes are telling the world that the strong and powerful get special terms while 30% is for the little people. We're all in for the prolonged battle if Apple tries to keep their monopoly in 30% by cutting backroom deals with big publishers to keep them quiet. He was talking about this in 2018. That's how far back he was working on the little stunt that he pulled that got his account or the entire Epic developer account nuked from the Apple store. And you know what? I have a bit more respect for the big weenie himself for calling Valve assholes to their faces. Absolutely. I don't necessarily agree with his reasoning or a lot of what he says, but I will respect that one instance of his behavior there. Good job.
Yeah, and like, and I mean, reading through all that, it's very clear Tim is positioning himself as the little guy. Poor tiny Tim. With his loads of money. Yeah, but because he's getting slightly less money. But, you know, he does, Broken Clock is right twice a day. You can raise a good point. And I think these days, 30% cut is kind of high. We do get cool shit like the Steam Deck and Proton. But, like, Valve ran some analysis. They were, like, the most efficient company on the planet. They're making money hand over foot. They could maybe look at giving some more favorable terms to the developers. They could and they should, but they won't because money. But they should. I think they're in a position where they
I think you can also balance that out as like Valve's not having layoffs.
Yes, they're not having layoffs, and they're not making games, but they are using that 30% for something. Steam Deck.
They're using it for a lot of stuff. Now, I said this is a very easy solution. Like, if you don't want a 30% cut, I believe Valve should have a scrub tier. Like, all right, we take 10% cut. You get a store.
Page.
That's it. You get a shopping cart on your page. You don't get all the other crap. You don't get the forums. You don't get the feedback. You don't get the all the
no community hub. No trading cards. No achievements. No
workshop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you know they could throw a workshop in just to be generous.
And they probably would too, but
yeah.
Is 30%? I would say. This is where we got to get squishy with it too, because like if it was Epic charge, if you got everything that you got from the Epic store for 30%, you'd be like, fuck no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the charge, Epic's charging what, 12%? Okay, so for 12%, give people an option. You get the exact same thing that you'd get on the Epic store, which is fuck all.
And here's another thing.
You get a check from Epic when they give away your game for free. That's what you get.
And like for the 12% tier, you don't get to generate Steam keys.
Yeah, no Steam keys. No Steam Works integration. Nothing.
I think even bumping it down to 20%, they could still make a healthy profit because there's so many games on Steam. Like the scale at which it operates, I can't imagine. That like that would be that damaging.
It probably wouldn't, but you run into the thing of like, you know, like this works for us.
And again, they're going to say no because money. We're all filthy rich. Why would we stop being filthy rich to make other people filthy rich? Right? And like
they're like, well, we're privately owned. Or it's just us. Yeah. We don't have fucking investors or stakeholders or anything.
No
like that.
No investors.
It's like y'all
no
bitches want the Steam Deck too or not? Because you know how many billions of dollars it's going to take to make that bitch. We got custom printed silicon for Steam Deck. Think that's cheap?
Rock up to AMD and say, give me custom chip.
Yeah, walking up to a CPU manufacturer like, make me a CPU.
And not just, you know, random CPU from down the street. It was already the company that was making the PS4 and the Xbox One, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. Yeah, as it turns out, Valve has that kind of pulling power, and
I really think they could, to agree with Jordan, like they could lower that, but I think it would be more in line to like, and they don't want to create confusion either. I get that too, but like, have a different tier,
have an option, like yeah,
give people the options. Like okay, the Epic Store. Charges 12% to have a store page and that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what you get.
My perspective of it is I just want more money going to the people who are actually like making the games. And in a lot of the cases, this is just indies that have like not a huge team that are maybe like two or three people, maybe one person. And yeah, like,
and there's something to be said, like having your game like on itch.io, like places where you're going to get a better percentage and
you know, but then, And
people, you're what about like Discovery, but like Discovery's absolute dog shit on Steam. Like, you can't really drag that out. You're just there because everybody, you're like, might as well just put it on Steam too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how it goes the moment any kind of platform gets any kind of traction.
Yeah.
Because people used to say that the Switch store was great because, you had that discoverability because there were infinitely less games than there were on Steam. And then Nintendo kind of went, ooh, people like these indies. And they opened the floodgates a little bit, and now discoverability on the Switch is shit. Go figure.
I wanted to bring this up just because, like, this is very, it's complete bullshit. You know how bundles are organized on the Switch? Is that you download a game, which is a packed binary of all the other games. So if you get like duplicates,
you could
that don't necessarily share saves. So if you get like Final Fantasy Collections Part 1 and Part 2, and they both have Final Fantasy 4 in it, you got to make sure you remember which bundle you're playing out of, because otherwise you're going to be very upset. Maybe. Like that's some boo boo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about one game update, and it's not, what was it? What was the Wraith's name? Tom? Tim?
Oh, there are a couple. There was Todd.
Todd.
Yeah. Yeah. all the early seasons ones were apparently named after members of KISS. So there was Gene, there was Ace, there was a couple others.
Todd was the,
Todd was the Wraith character. Sucking,
well, the Heart of Gold.
Yeah, he's like, I was like, oh yeah, they have a sense of humor. No, they're just regular guys. They just people.
But we're not talking about Wraiths. We're talking about Wrath, Anne of Evil, Anne of Ruin, as it's called now. We talked about it last week or the week before. It's the Dark Places engine boomer shooter that came out a while back. Native Linux release as well, because it's Dark Places. It's the Quake engine, so. It got a new update. There were a couple of issues I ran into while trying to launch the native Linux version. There were a couple of instances where it just straight up crashed. The screen went dark, as in the window showed up and then gone. But now they fixed it. It launches reliably, which is very, very good. And, they did change, the OpenGL corruption on menu QC, which if you opened up the Steam overlay, and this happened on a Linux version too, if you opened up the Steam overlay while you were in the menu, you could see like artifacts show up around the entries in the menu. They fixed that now, so it's very nice.
Yeah, this is just like a standard post-launch bug fix patch. Yeah. It happens. You know, you do your testing, you do your open beta, but then like once it goes live, everyone starts humping all the walls, and then you find all the real bugs. Goes
complete hell, man. Yeah. I want to give him credit though, man, because I had some good feels when I went like digging through the chain log, and they kept the naming convention for Quake.
Yes.
You know, E1, M1, M2, and I was like, oh, I remember punching that in my BSP files, and get off my lawn, I'm old.
They've also released the hot fix immediately after this.
Did they call it the hotter fix?
No, this is just the OpenGL corruption and the AMD issues that they were having. Mm-hmm. They didn't fix all of them, so they had to do a little hot fix to
actually put like little crates on the floor, and instead of a 9-inch nails, they have like 10-inch spikes or some shit.
Hold on. What's a lesser known Trent Reznor band? Just put the logo.
Oh no, they hire them to do the
Apparently there was also issues with the on Nvidia cards. There were red lines on the screen, which I can remember a few games that had those like red textures.
Dude, get wrecked if you generate like individual red lines on your monitor. Dude, that is not a happy feel. Like that, the last thing I was like, oh no.
Something's wrong.
GPU go brr, no more. Or monitor cable like out. Last thing I check is like, was that the game doing that? Please be the game doing that.
Is there something wrong with my monitor? Did something fuck up?
It looks a lot like that.
Oh man. Good to see. Let's jump into the news with our good friends over on Team Red. Oh, they're
speaking of AMD software support being a bit shit on Linux. If you know, that little Fallout 4 meme that's just like the corner of the screen that says everyone hated that. Yeah, imagine that showing up as soon as, because there was a bit of a bug reported on the a DRM for the kernel, not digital rights management, but the direct rendering manager, for AMD, which caused when someone tried to set the power limit to 150 watts on their 6900 XT, the card, instead of limiting to 150 watts, was boosting as high as 300 or 420 on occasion. And it's like, okay, that's bad. Let's report that bug. And one of the developers, Mario Limoncello, came back and said, this has been discussed on the AMD GFX mailing list, and the conclusion was that underpowering outside of the bounding box is potentially dangerous and might damage the hardware. This won't be added back in. Closed thread won't fix. Oh boy. Yeah, everyone hated that. Everyone wow, came down on his ass.
There's a lot of pages to scroll down.
Immediately. Like,
immediately. I like how the original bug reporter is like, I feel so bad. I just wanted to report a bug. I didn't want to make AMD GPU worse. And the media quote follow-up post is like, nobody thinks this is your fault.
Yeah, this is not your fault. This is absolutely not your fault.
But like, doing the exact opposite of the thing you wanted it to do. Yeah, hopefully this gets fixed sometime soon. Mm-hmm. This is happening on kernel 6.7. If you're on 6.6, you're apparently safe. Which is what I am, is what I'm rocking, so I'm good. The people in the thread are going about how like, yeah, setting a pretty aggressive, like what, setting a 200 watt cap on the card only like drops performance by about 10% and like reduces power usage by like 30. Yeah, and
as it turns out, it's like someone was gave an example with their 6800 XT. Where they lowered the power target to 150 watts, they lost 10% of performance, but they were saving about 30% of power. That's significant.
That's an extra Steam game at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, yes. That's a lot of money at the end of the month.
I think the biggest argument to be made for any of this is if you're dealing with the type of people that know how to fucking do this on Linux, yeah, let them.
Well, beyond that, like, running less electricity through the card is somehow more dangerous than running more electricity through
makes
the
no fucking right, sense.
two people that are not electrical engineers. It is dangerous. You can get into states with chips and you can fuck things up, like buck converters, by dropping the voltage too low. You can damage hardware by undervolting it.
Yeah, but you're not undervolting. You're not.
I'm using big terms that you can wrap your head around right now.
Yeah, no, that's actually one of the points that is brought up in the thread, because people were saying, yeah, if the cards can draw 7 watts at idle just fine, then what's the problem with capping the power? And it's like, running at idle and underclocking aren't the same thing. It's like, yeah, no one else was conflating underclocking with idle. That person was.
Somebody is sitting here going, this could be potentially dangerous. Now we have the internet and we have hardware engineers from fucking AMD.
Which have on multiple occasions proven that
we know better, internet. Now AMD is looking at this going, yeah, I don't, we don't want a single card to come back. Because
and yet, at the same time, they allow for overclocking. Overclocking's fine. Limiting the power can't do it, but overclocking is fine.
Self-correcting. Overclocking because there's protections built
this
in.
Be?
Well, it's fucking not, clearly, according to somebody looked at that and went, that could get fucked up.
But well, that's the thing. I think that's another point that gets brought up in the thread.
And I think the big thing, too, is like AMD and power management are not a thing that go hand in hand. And so people are going to look for ways to reduce the power consumption on their thirsty AMD cards. And
that's definitely another fucking minefield that you need to keep in mind before fucking around with stuff like this too. You're fucking around with an already bad system.
And that one of the proposed solutions was, okay, so let's taint the kernel. If someone enables the feature mask to enable overclocking and setting the power limit, then it should taint the kernel on both setting the power limit and on overclocking, because then it's fair.
That's what we need, our drivers. Fairness.
I I mean, if you are going to disallow one because it's too dangerous to set the power limit too low, mm-hmm. while at the same time allowing people to crank the power limit and the voltage and yeah. the clocks on the card, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
That makes plenty of sense, because there's fail states and throttling built into account that, like, that was done, like, during the design phase of, like, okay, people are going to overclock these things. We need to make sure that they're going to clock down. That we're going to be able to, the traces are going to be able to handle the extra power, da-da-da-da-da-da. They clearly, at some point, were like, what if people are, like, fucking not getting the correct amount of power? That could have problems, like, long-term. Like, oh, yeah, it might. So, yeah, like, fuck fairness. Like, one of those is, like, we have contingencies in place in the silicon for the overclocking. This thing, clearly they don't, or at least they firmly believe they don't. I don't care one way or the other, because y'all hippies just need to install the binary drivers like real gamers.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, part of the response from AMD is like, no, they should come up with a better way of solving this problem. They shouldn't just disable it and say we're not going to deal with it. That's a poo-poo solution.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a shit solution. It should never. The default should never be, if you're setting the power limit to 150 watts, the default shouldn't be, no, the car's just going to draw 420.
Yeah.
No. Just. No.
So you've heard it from the Linux community. Just remove the ability to fuck with power completely on Linux.
Or keep it in.
Nope, completely.
And,
let's get rid of it.
Let people do it both, since they can already do it.
You know what? We're going to make it an RNG.
Under.
Just RNG, whatever.
Okay. No, you stick your finger in the socket, and if you survive, you get to, the boot process continues. Mm. You just got to press Y for did you survive. With your crispy finger.
All right. Last week, we talked about the demise of Yuzu, the Switch emulator. Nintendo came in knocking, and they went, peace, we're out, we're done.
They got on their motorcycle and drove off.
Gone, man. They're like, sounds like a good time to pack it in, boys. Well, well, well. No one predicted. No one.
Absolutely.
Nope.
Open source? What's that? Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. It's not the way it works. There's been a fork, and the popular fork, according to Ars Technica, is Suyu.
A little good bit name. On the nose, that not one.
good name.
Yeah. Says the project's in a legal gray area we're trying to work our way out of. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. The person they consulted has claimed 3 years of law school.
Not one, not two, but 3 years of law school.
Fills me with confidence.
So this, they got a GitHub. This arose out of a passion for Switch emulation and a desire not to see years of impressive work by the Yuzu team go to waste, which all things I agree with. So how are they not going to get sued into a smoldering crater the size of Hyrule? Yeah, there we go. Words.
Pick a crater. The KT boundary.
Yes, that thing, man. So here's their plan. They're going to avoid monetization altogether. Smart move when dealing with emulation. They're not going to do any step-by-step guides to show you how to actually use the tool, which is, all right, bold move.
Yeah, cotton. Sure.
And I was like reading over this, and I'm like, I wanted to get excited about it, but this womp womp Yuzu's gone. Oh, that, why is that not even there? They got rid of the archive?
I guess they DMCA'd them.
Wow. Nintendo rolls hard, son.
That's
malicious to like go to the way back, go to archive.org and like, no, you remove that shit there too.
That was probably
the Yuzu guys who did that, because yeah, they're like
part of the dealers. Like, yeah, yeah. Pay us $2.4 million. But yeah, like the person who forked this kind of came across as, I could be completely wrong. Like the idea person is like, hey, I'm going to do this and set this up, but somebody's got to do that at least and get some attention and popularity. Well, no one will hold. Like, it's been forked. People are showing up to work on it, though. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing they need to do that the Nintendo suit alleged is Yuzu was generating their own title.keys. Mm-hmm. And so now they need a way to extract legitimate title.keys from various games, various systems. But they can't tell you how to do it either. So, again, it creates a bit of a logistical problem of, here, we can make this thing, but we can't tell you how to use it. But
ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, do you think we'll get another angry email, post on Reddit?
Mm.
because there's no binaries to download.
Yeah, I'm not a fucking programmer, you stupid nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was for a stalker app, too. That was
build it yourself. It's pretty dope. I'm trying to find the link to the, I was on the GitHub thing a minute ago, and I can't find
it. Suyu. Is it the first one?
There we go. Nope. Yeah. Open source nonprofit Switch emulator. Come at us, bro. 67 dedicated. If it keeps on going, man, and you know, more than likely, the people that have been rolling deep with Yuzu all these years, they're going to find a way to help out a little bit.
Yeah.
Although the thing that kind of sticks out to me, the whole thing is starting with the name, Suyu. Yeah. A little bit on the nose. Someone really wants Nintendo Senpai to notice them one way or another. Because
Maybe I was wrong last week when I said the T-Post Anteater should be WebArchive. Maybe
they should. No, they very clearly want Nintendo to pay attention to them. I don't know why, but they do.
Well, because I think they don't really have a choice, right? If you try to do this, behind the scenes, then that just gives Nintendo ammunition to be like, ah, yes, you are definitely trying to do something illegal. If they do this in the open and they say, hey, we're not taking money. Hey, we're doing everything. We're not doing the things that you alleged in the other lawsuit. Look at us. We're not actually doing it. I think this is their strategy.
They're like, okay, thanks for the playbook.
Yeah.
Okay, we got rules now. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what this is.
All right. I wish him the best of luck, man, because
you know,
make it doubly hard, because the interest that I have in like Switch emulation is very similar to Jordan. Jordan, you bought a Switch, like you own Switch games. And at some point I might too, because like it's gonna be the only viable way for me to ever play like Bayonetta 2 or Bayonetta 3. And but I don't want to play them on some old busted ass mobile phone hardware. You know, I want to play them on PC with a real controller and like HD, and I want that option available, and I don't want to have to go to supersketchy.ru.cx. Oh, did you hear Cloudflare got rid of they dropped the .tk?
Really?
Yeah. How many people had a TK web zone back in the day?
You had to, because otherwise you had a GeoCities.
It was free.
Yeah. you got some ads on your website, but whatever.
.tk. Up next, Open Broadcaster Studio 30.1.
No Jordan. Twitch enhanced broadcasting. Not here. Not at all. go somewhere else.
That boondoggle piece of nightmare fuel Twitch still hasn't, like, we haven't heard a peep out of that ever since they announced it. I was like, that's going to be a goddamn dumpster fire. You have no idea the level of bullshit you're going to try to introduce on people who can barely count to fork. you're going to have them multi-stream from home and have them, you fools, just enable AV1. So, a couple of things in this. The big ones, Pipewire video sources are now a thing for you wacky kids out there running the Wayland. That should simplify your life quite a bit. AV1 encoding for VAPI and WebRTC. We talked about the WebRTC, I believe, last week or the week before. So we're going to get really crisp. We're going to be looking at each other's pores in a few more months. PCM audio fragmented for MP4 and MOVE. That's important. Let me tell you why that's important. You remember, maybe both of you have seen the big warning message, because you remember how the default was FLV?
Yeah.
And you changed it to a real container? And it'd be like, oh, no, don't do that, because if your computer explodes, it will break your video file. Fragmented MP4 MOVs don't suffer that problem. You can just chop them at any point, and they can pick it right back up. So that's good that that's going to be the default. And PCM audio is in that now on top of everything else. And the default is now regular, ordinary, real boy containers, not something originally designed. And flash video. Good times. Happy to see it.
I like that they're having the AV1 HDR enabled for HEVC on the stable version, and both VA API and WebRTC also support AV1. At the same time, Twitch is still munching on whatever glue stick NVIDIA fed them. And well, not allowing people to stream.
Well, it's they're munching on the piles of money that they saved from the free labor of NVIDIA engineers just doing their AV1 ingest for them.
Yeah. They just did like this boondoggle of like whatever. Like we haven't even they have not brought this back up, gentlemen, since the announcement. They're like,
yes,
this like it's dumb. You have no idea like that. The amount of like technical know-how, no matter how idiot-proof you make that. Is such a hurdle, like it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare. One thing, YouTube, if you defeat the YouTube mini boss of setting up your live stream, you stream AV1 and you're done. You got to bite the bullet. But I understand where Twitch is coming from, and it's not about money or anything like that. What's his name? DJ, whatever his name is now, the new CEO of Twitch.
Not DJ Wheat.
No,
they didn't give him CEO of Twitch.
Now it's a DJ whoever his name is. I follow him on Twitch. It's weird because like it's the Twitch CEO, but he just like fucks around and does live streams. He has like 200 people watching him. It's anyway, back to the point is what was my point, gentlemen?
Twitch
money. Why are they not doing AV1?
Senior moment. Awesome. So. He came out and he said, we got the fucking numbers, dude. Everybody watches like by large on mobile or small screen. You know, they have your dimensions on like, or whether or not you have it in a tab. And he's like, people are not watching your stream, despite what you might want to believe, on a dedicated monitor on a big screen or anything like that. And he's like, that's why we're not really bothering with it right now. We know most people watching your stuff, watching on a little monitor.
Yeah,
doesn't most make people that big a deal.
Consume their media nowadays on their phones, and even I speak for myself. Even when I have a live stream on, it's in the background because I have other windows on it, and I have a video game on the other monitor. And
even when I'm watching Twitch on my tablet, I got it in the little pop-out player in a little tiny window while I'm doing some things.
If I ever have like a Twitch or a YouTube video as like full screen, it is because like it is on a separate computer that is like playing that. While I'm doing something else, right? Like,
unless I'm pixel hunting for something, someone has like a comparison of
pixel peeping.
Yeah, like the AV1 comparison that Intel had for the Arc,
right?
When they did like the AV1 encoding, and they had, I think one of the games that they used was Elden Ring. So it's like, okay, let's just put that full screen because I've played that game. I know what I'm looking for. So yeah, that's it. That's the only instance.
Good luck. Just enable AV1 and just come on. Good.
Can I not use X264 on my CPU anymore? Can I just take advantage of my wonderful GPU's ability?
Do it.
Send high quality video
straight to you. Bring me the encoders. I'll do it for you. Ladies and gentlemen, facts, get racks, get facts.
What the facts? In the year 2403, war were beginning. No, it's Specs 2403. It's the new release that's out. A lot of cool new things with this release. Some performance games.
What's effects?
It is a x86 emulator that allows you to run x86 binaries on ARM CPUs.
And x86 64 too.
yes, this is true. As opposed to Box 86, Box 64, this is the other big CPU emulator. Yeah, and a couple big gains here. They fixed some Steam bugs, which Pedro will tell you about in a little bit. There was also an interesting little bit about how on x86 processors and x86 64 processors, there's a cycle CPU counter or CPU cycle counter that operates at 1 to 2 gigahertz generally on desktop. On ARM, it runs at a much lower frequency because they don't need to run it at such a thing. And this was causing CPU to wait, or was causing Unreal Engine 5 games to wait for inordinate amounts of time for the cycle to complete. And so now they've introduced a scaler that multiplies that by 180 or 128, which should now make things a little bit more smooth. There's more x86 thunks so that you can run your 64-bit binaries on your x86 or on your binaries on your 64-bit systems, and a bunch of syscalls. They did a bunch of analysis and they realized, hey, we don't actually need to emulate these. We can just pass them through directly to the kernel. So now there's a bunch of overhead that just got removed. So that's cool.
Yep. And the thing that got me was the Steam, because One of the like specific fixes that they had for running Steam specifically through Fex was they were just sending the Chromium disable sandbox command so that the Steam client would run without the sandbox. But Valve, since they moved how the Chromium embedded framework is managed now, and
shit's still broken on NVIDIA Valve.
It's still running. It's all running inside the runtime now. And they are, because of that, because they're in control of the runtime, they have full control of the sandbox. They just disabled the Chromium sandbox. And apparently sending the double disable sandbox command was causing Steam to just crash. So my question is, can this be exploited? Someone more clever than I look into that. They also, apparently, Steam, as wonderful piece of software that it is, it was starting up a bunch of threads to do things like compiling shaders, setting up the prefix when you start a game with Proton. Like, everything, it starts up its own thread and then kills it once, as soon as it's done. But Fex wasn't letting go of the memory for those threads, and it was causing a bit of a runaway scenario in terms of memory leakage all the way through. So they fixed that now. They're aware of it, and they see it, and they're fixing it as it comes.
Is that a problem, Pedro? I got an Apple. I can install some more. Wait.
I can go buy a new Apple computer.
I can buy another one.
Unless you're really, really good with BGA soldering.
Again, like, we bring this up. I at least try to bring it up every time we talk about facts. We're just like, okay, yeah, that's a neat party trick, man. You got something that can run x86 on, like, you know, on overblown Raspberry Pi, right? Yep. And like, this is still laying the groundwork, and they're doing the gritty work. They're very forward thinking, because by the time, it's not too far away. Because I keep posting about it. Every little bit of news I get about that new 80-watt fire breathing
Snapdragon
yeah. coming out, dude. Like, ARM desktop SoCs that are going to be legit. We're probably only like one or two generations out from like really having something semi-viable here. And a lot of this stuff is going to be sorted by then. Yeah. You know,
your
x86 will just work. Right. That'll be crazy.
When you're running your Windows game through
Proton on my ARM CPU.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I dedicated like 20 of my 80 ARM CPUs to deal with this.
Right.
So
it's there's a 5% performance hit. So I'm getting 5% less performance than if I was playing it on Windows on x86.
Oh, right. Here, let me just put it in performance mode, 80 watts. Yeah, right.
Let me add an expansion card. That's another 128 CPUs in here.
I mean, it's going to be our own version of like Rosetta stuff like this, man. Yeah. I love that it's there. I love that it's there and it's coming, and it's hard to look past x86. But I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like at some point.
It has to happen.
There's going to be that time, probably, like, you know, unless you're in the hospice right now, like within our lifetimes, where you're going to like, okay, do I want to buy that?
You're going to buy a Snapdragon laptop from your Dell. Yeah.
And you're going to be like, ooh, that's pretty cool.
So here's the question, because I guess this is more targeted at Pedro than Vin. That first generation ARM laptop comes out with like the beefy parts. Do you go buy that right away?
No. Laptops, when you buy them on release, they tend to be very, very expensive. And I already bought my first generation ARM laptop. It's called a Pinebook Pro.
No, I'm talking about a non-crappy one, though. I'm talking about one that you can actually run software on.
What is it? It's a Rockchip RK3399.
Okay.
Which is about Raspberry Pi 4 levels of.
Yeah, that's what's in my Nano Pi. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's passable. As for a laptop that you're only using to go on the internet, maybe not watch YouTube videos, because YouTube's a freaking shit show on lower power CPUs. But if you're just browsing the internet, doing emails, doing work, it's fine. Perfectly passable.
That's probably going to be like the next big thing, though. Like, when you bring that up, man, how hard even like a modern Raspberry Pi 5 struggles to brute force things like video. when all of that stuff is there on the SoC for like 8K decoding, which it can do, like that's frustrating. Like Broadcom's always had a problem with Raspberry Pi 4s with acceleration.
Yeah.
Fun times. Tell us, are you looking forward to our risky future? Will you be first in line to buy whatever passes for a semi-affordable x86 desktop replacement? You can do that. You can leave us a comment on this YouTube video or wherever it may be. If you're one of our patrons, leave it on there and I guarantee you, we'll make sure it gets in the show. But the best way to get a hold to us, to send us in some mail, send us in some messages that we might read on this very show, is to head over to linuxgamecast.com, smash that contact button, and read the page. Don't leave the rest up to you. I think you're a bright person. Maybe you're not. Who knows? We'll find out. But last week, we were talking about syncing and freeing. And would anybody ever buy a monitor just because it had FreeSync? And we said, no, that's crazy talk. That's
people like
that don't exist.
It turns out Peter's crazy. Peter writes in from YouTube and says, opposite to most gamers, apparently
Gators,
I bought my... No, yeah. Schnappi's back and he's with a vengeance. Apparently I bought my monitor partially because it had FreeSync support. Since 2016, 2017, I decided that my next monitor must have FreeSync support. I could never game with VSync on and I legitimately quit playing one game because the tearing drove me nuts. I upgraded from 1080p 60 to 2560 by 4440 at 144 after I assembled a new system. Also, the colors improved enough to make the upgrade worth it. Over the course of the next big step is a non-LCD monitor. Hopefully 5 to 10 years from now, a 4K OLED with around 30 or 32 inch will be reasonably priced. $500 to $600? Yeah, I hope so too. That would be sweet, assuming that at the time graphics cards can handle 4K with good performance. I mean, they kind of can now. Depends on the game. If you don't turn on ray tracing.
No ray tracing, 4K 60. I think, most current gen cards can do that.
We literally just talked about how turning on ray tracing really does nothing except make the game run worse.
Well, I mean, AMD and NVIDIA, like, they switched gears in the marketing department because, like, the 30 series and the previous 60 series AMD GPUs and NVIDIA, the 30 series, they're like 4K gaming, brah. Come on, you can 8K game all over these things. And now you got 40 NVIDIA series in the XTS 39. AMD, and they're like 1080p ray tracing is awesome, dude. It's like you gotta love it, man.
Yeah,
I remember NVIDIA, like a big part of the marketing push for the 3090 was 8K gaming. And then of course Gamers Nexus was like, okay, let's put that to the test. No, fuck you.
Well, number one, let me spend like over $1,000 on an 8K monitor to verify this.
God, man. I mean,
my 22 inch 8K monitor.
I'm looking forward to like OLED or Nano LED. Nano LED has a lot more of my quantum whatever they get. There's like a billion names for it, but like OLED's dope. OLED's still wicked expensive, not as wicked expensive as it used to be, but I don't know, like I'm still in that boat. I'm glad that you went out like on FreeSync. If you had it on, I wouldn't know.
You would know. As soon as you started a game that the loading screens were at a lower frame rate and the game was at, you know, running at whatever.
All I'm hearing is you pay attention to loading screens.
I'm looking at the screen waiting for the game to load. Yes.
I immediately fuck off and start doing something on a tablet or check an email. I'm not hang on, loading screen, grab the popcorn.
I try to race it.
No, a loading screen comes up and I'm sitting there waiting and I'm looking
Pedro's
at the screen.
Pedro's computer's so slow it has to load stuff.
When you're playing, I'm playing New World, when you're playing an MMO made on the Lumberyard, aka CryEngine, after Amazon got their hands on it.
Well, hold on, what's it called now? The open source game engine? The open game engine? Ogi?
Shit, it's not Lumberyard anymore.
The Linux Foundation owns it, yes. Yeah. I don't remember the new name.
Formerly known as Lumberyard.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, no, that engine, especially when you're loading into a town that has a bunch of players, those loading screens, they take a while. So yeah, I noticed it because the loading screens on that game, the frame rate comes down to like 1 FPS, then jumps to like 20, and then comes back down to 2 FPS. And It goes in and out of the window of FreeSync that you can see the monitor refresh.
No, I have ABC 123 playing in the background of my head.
I didn't think it would stay up. It means I need to wash my hair.
That's like Jordan's got handlebars.
Yeah. I'm an anime character.
Clearly.
Canadian people I'm talking.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up. Before we get out of here, we want to thank a couple of people. If you want to hook us up, you can tap our support button over at linuxgamecast.com. We do have a patron, how we finance our little dog and chainsaw show. By joining that, you get a bunch of bonus stuff we throw your direction. Like I said, I'm going to have the sneak peek for this passive NH1P1 cooler coming out a bit earlier for you guys to take a look at. And of course, you get the live and uncut version of this show. If you're listening to the podcast, there's usually like 2.5 to 3 more hours of it that we make available as a podcast. We got LibrePay, we got PayPal, we got Bitcoin, but we also got Wish Zones, Amazon wish list, where we put stuff that we may or may not use, but it's up to you to ship it our way if you're like, I would like to inflict that with you, because you can include a note, which yes, we will have to read, which sounds horrifying.
Reading is hard, man. I don't want to do it.
It is. We got a merch store. If you want to put some LGC on you, we got some t-shirts. They're pretty nice. They're pretty nice. We got some mugs and some other things. And of course, the Amazon storefront, if you're curious about anything in the studio, which I'm broadcasting from, it's an itemized list. You don't have to buy anything off Amazon. You can just get it. And like, hey, I wonder what that is. Oh, there's the thing. I'm going to go buy it on wherever, you know. What's the new thing that kids buy? No, not Wish has been replaced. What's the new one?
Temu,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, Humble Affiliate. I do want to thank Don M, and I want to thank Freezera.
Fizera. I keep reading that as Frieza, but yeah, it's Fizera. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my one attempt for not calling you Frieza. From now on, it's Frieza.
Frieza.
But I do want to thank. I fucked up earlier this week. Gentlemen.
Oh, what did you do?
I fucked up. That's what I did. I just got back from my run. So it was like maybe 5:15 in the morning my time. And I come in, hop in the shower, hop out. And I'm like, oh, see what's going on the YouTube. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's cool. They got like a little new little baby video card thing. And I'm like, all right, that's pretty neat. I posted it in our Discord. I was like, that's cool. I get a message and just like, Joe, do you think that thing worth anything? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe it might be interesting. Like, whatever. You get that replay. Like, well, you're going to find out, fucko. Like that's a lot to like process.
at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I just posted. All right, fine. Fuck it. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the most powerful GPU in the world.
Sparkle!
It's so tiny.
The Arc A310. Pedro, does not require external power. This is 50 yes, watts. It has.
In single slot, too.
Not one, but two mini display ports.
And so you gotta go find a mini display port cable.
I already got a couple. But more importantly, gentlemen, it's got AV1 encoder built into it.
That's the big one.
AV1 encoder. All this in a package, $99. So basically what I said to a lot of you out there is AV1 encoder, $99.
Mm-hmm.
Add-on AV1 encoder. You got an older AMD, you got an older NVIDIA card. AV1 encoder, single slot, doesn't require extra power. Because $99 is what I would have paid for an AV1 encoder. Now, the 50-watt TDP. This is going to be interesting to play around with for two reasons. Now, the initial thing. Thank you, Arthurin. I don't know what I did with a note, but I'll get you next week, man, because I know where it's at. I know where it's at, man. And hopefully you said something horrific on it. But I'll get you next week. Remind me. But the two things for this card. One, I want to see, is it worth buying a $99 Arc A310, this little guy, because it's super low profile. So it will go in the thermal nope box that is Jordan's PC, that little tiny evil little thing, which has a 5600G. Is this a worthwhile upgrade for like ultra budget gaming on Linux? If you just have integrated graphics like 5600G laying around, like, is it any better? Like for 1080p gaming, let's be realistic. Do you think we'll get a performance boost?
Yeah, it will. It's a dedicated GPU.
Yeah, but it's also Intel.
Yeah.
That was a dedicated
GPU versus a Vega.
A310.
Yeah, it's a Vega built-in embedded GPU on the Ryzen.
Very well supported, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be spinning some furry donuts on top of everything else.
But yeah, no, I think just from the fact that it is a dedicated GPU, it will perform not a lot better. But a little bit.
Okay, so according to Passmark, what does bullshit say? Theoretically, yes.
Huh. On Linux.
Dedicated GPU.
On yes. Linux, yeah.
Versus integrated.
Running Proton. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, okay. So then, with Intel, there's the other multiplier. Does it run better? And what does it look like? Because, you know, performance numbers are one thing, but if it's like fucking Smearovision, if like there's like distortions and shit, like that's a different story, right?
I happen to know a guy who's got some benchmark graphs and shit and the ability to capture what you've requested. Yes. So. That's going to be one of the things I'm going to test, man. Like this, thank you, Arthur, because like this is genuinely going to be a helpful fucking data point to people. I'm like, fuck. All right. Cause the three of us, we don't fucking know. And like the three people should fucking know. It's going to be one of us. So let's get that sorted. And then I'm going to come back around for another video and another article about using this bad boy as an AV1 add-in card. Because if you don't know, like you can just throw in another GPU because years ago when I had that 770 laying around, I was using that as a bonus card with another NVIDIA card just to use that for the NV encode. Well, theoretically, we should just be able to use the AV1 portion of this card in a like thread booper. And we'll see what that looks like and how much of a pain in the ass that is to set up and if it's going to be like a worthwhile thing because you never know.
And can you get Twitch to ingest it?
Fuck no, but I can get it to work on YouTube.
It's not an NVIDIA card, so no. NVIDIA 40 series card, so no.
No, man. I can paint it green. Like, see if it'll trick
it. Yeah. Put a
RTX
sticker on it.
4010.
Yeah.
So Arthur and I say to you, I'll benchmark. You pick two games. You can pick two games, because I'll probably do like five games, but you can pick two games. They can be Proton, native, whatever, but they gotta have benchmarks built into them. And let me know in Discord. Before the end of next week, when I get some time to stick this thing together. If I got some time on Wednesday, because Scale is still doing its thing, so we're not going to be doing a weekly daily Wednesday, I might do a little bit of a stream, just like the initial, plug the damn thing in and see if it goes burr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, does this even work with, yeah, because we have no idea. This is a brand new thing, man. Like,
it should work even if you have the NVIDIA drivers installed.
I don't say shit
installed.
Like that anymore, Pedro Mateus.
That's the thing. GLVND.
I say shit like that. Fate goes, hang on a minute. And it starts rolling up its sleeves, dude.
I plugged in my
neutral dispatch should very much account for that.
Because I plugged in my AMD card. The first thing I'm going to have to do, I'm going to compile a kernel 5.8 or 6.8.
Yeah.
5.8 might be a little dodgy.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I plugged in my 7800 without even uninstalling the NVIDIA drivers, and shit just works. I haven't even removed my Xorg conf. That's how shit just works. So,
I mean, if you're using Wayland now, you don't need to.
I'm not for this right
see,
now.
Then
like,
shit's gonna get start. It's gonna become to like one of those things. Like this actually might be helpful if it works out, because I was talking about that we're doing Trackmania. Come play Trackmania with us. We do it on Tuesdays and Fridays. If you're a Twitch sub or patron, just link up to our Discord. Everything's pinned in the Trackmania Zen channel. We get together, but we're starting to do RPG maps, which, you know, basically the Dark Souls maps and castles and shit. And those are huge maps. The 5600G struggling, man, struggling. Oh, that might be one of the tests, like to see if we can, get away and like, how loud is this bad boy going to get?
Can you throw
a
passive cooler
thin
on
it? Single slot fan blower style, so it might get a little loud.
not ginormous case.
Well, once you remove the CD-ROM
drive pointed directly at the breathy holes, it might be fine.
I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. That's gonna wrap us up for tonight. Thanks for joining in, but I do believe we got a good place left for Brad. Let's cue that music. You can always find this horse and pony show. Horses and ponies are the same thing, right? They taste the same, right? Yeah. Anyway, kicking off right here on Twitch, live, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. It's on the schedule. But if you are a patron, if you are a Death Note or above, we do the pre super shows and audio. And if you're an executive producer, you get a video feed. But don't worry, you'll get that tomorrow if you want to go back and rewatch it. And if you're like, fuck you guys, I just want to consume content, not a problem. Wait a week. Go to our uncut channel a week later. You get everything for free. We're good like that. But if you want to get in touch with me, I'm on all the social medias, baby. I'm on the Zitters, on the X's, whatever you want to call it, at Vinstone. At Vin on mass.linuxgamecast.com. And just type in Vin on if you're on the blue sky. I'm there, technically.
I'm Fluffy Long Slopping. You can follow me on Mastodon at Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com. On Blue Sky at frojo.bsky.com.app, whatever. And at The Burning Fool on Twitter. Yeah.
And I'm at an accounted for with the actual number four at mass.linuxgamecast.com. That's the social network that I'm in nowadays.
The last.
Poke at me,
ever.
I'll poke back.
The only one.
Yes. I'm not the only one.
All right. Well, it's time to do it. We got to thank our lovely, lovely people flying through space. Riding that sandworm into the stars. We got to thank our advisors, Omegas and Arthur, and our executive producers, Atomic House, Barbara, Scott Michaud, Mike G, Drummer, Tomaj, Hakim, David Eship, Ian, Kurducky, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Little Nicky fans, Little Nicky fans, Chicago kicks ass, Super Desert, Empty, and Glorious Egg Roll. Yeah.
And Sea Monsters from No Rider X, Machina, Tregi, Veritanuda, and Justin, Darkwing, System T, Dead Zing, Joe, DeCrazy, Kim, and OG1. With a Death Note, Snava, Chad, Romeo, Kim, Chris,
Pebble,
Steven,
I see
Jill,
a Death
Benjamin,
Note. Get a couple of these Cheerlings, Graf, Tom,
look at this Graf,
Graf,
Tim,
Piper,
and of course, all of our fine upstanding cannibals, Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, Drew, Aldous, Noctilus, John, E, Shep, Gavitron, you know, DSN, Joe, Aromatic, _ Dev, and Kai, Joe, right?
We
Until
did.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, get out there and, I don't know. Anger and confuse new Linux users. Buy them an NVIDIA card.
Go infuriate Nintendo.
Suzu.
Yeah.
Identify everyone. See you next week.
Five dudes.